All right. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Welcome in 97.1 FM. We've got an hour for you. We've been doing, already had an hour at KMOX. We've got an hour left for everybody. And again, you can find me right here live. Anything about your house, any questions you have, any projects you might need a little help with, 314-436-7900. Finds me, gets you right here to me, and we can try and help you out with whatever it is that is ailing you and your home today, live right now. So I wanted to kind of touch on, while we wait here for a minute, from Greg's call, it kind of sparked some things in my head about project management and about what I used to do as a project manager that differs quite a bit now from what I perform as a sales consultant, as figuring things out up front, trying to advise, trying to get the best things put together for everybody. And when you are running a job, when you are that project manager and you're kind of, you've got these goals that you're trying to achieve and you're trying to get everything done well, and you're trying to get it done on budget, and you're trying to get it done on time, and you're trying to get through things that may not have been completely noticed, found, or thought about from looking at the project up front and figuring the project up front. And so when you're doing that, you're definitely trying to kind of go through and go, all right, I'm trying to complete this task. I want to advise on this and talk about that. But I'm trying not to spend a bunch of someone's money. I don't want to necessarily just create a bunch of change orders at every turn. So I'm trying to control things in the best manner to not necessarily do that. And it reminds me of a kitchen when I was a project manager and I was running jobs for Mosby Building Arts, and I had a kitchen where the sink was in the island, and in the island the sink came in, it was ordered backwards, so it was like a 60-40 split where one side was smaller, one side got the garbage disposal, and when it came in and we were templating for the countertops and everything, and they looked at the sink and they're like, that's backwards, the big one should be over here, and we're kind of doing this, and we're working left to right, and our dishwasher's on the right, and we've got all this figured out. And so now in my mind, I've got this goal of the project manager. I'm thinking, how do I solve this? How do I get through this? How do I not spend a bunch of time, money, effort, all this doing this? Is there a solution that makes this work for everybody, that doesn't delay the job, that we're not waiting? And so I kind of started to suggest, I said, all right, well, what if we just reversed like the dishwasher and the trash can bin, because it was a trash can cabinet pull out trash can. And I said, if we reverse where those are in the island, and you're going to work right to left and your dishwasher will be on the left, do you think that would be a problem for you? And they came back with all these like, okay, well, we thought this through with the designer and we worked on this whole kitchen design, and we've got the trash can over here because it's closer to the back door and that's where we come in with our mail, and there's going to be a shredder in there for the junk mail, and going through all this. And I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah, you guys have really thought this through, and that's great. And that was perfect. And we ended up taking a little bit of a delay because we had to reorder a different sink and get the right one in and delay the countertop template till we had the sink and everything was ready to go. It cost us about a week or so to get this sink, and that was okay too, but that's just the mindset of that person in that time. So they're not always thinking of those upfront things, the design, so they're just trying to get through it in a good manner, in the simplest way, in the cost-effective way, and hopefully help everybody out. And that doesn't always necessarily work 100% of the time. And then we find that out and we take a different route and do whatever's necessary. But it is a different animal than now up front trying to foresee and go through everything and know as much as possible. Now it's like predicting. You're trying to predict. So I've got into conversations with a few clients, with a few of our workers, our project managers, different people of when we run into something like the ceiling's not level. And like when I did my kitchen a couple of years ago, when we had a lot of that going on, and the comment was made, well, let's just predict this stuff up front. Let's put something in there to do this on every kitchen. And I'm like, but not every kitchen needs it. And so there's circumstances in the home that we may find, but we don't find it in every project, every kitchen. We don't find it every time. So it's like, well, then if I put it in every kitchen, then I might be overcharging if we don't have to do it. And so that brings us to the very thought through detailed scope of work that says, these are the tasks that we're planning for. This is how we're thinking we'll get through it. And then anything outside of there isn't figured out, isn't planned for, and isn't going to happen in the project if you find something. And so there are hidden things that come about that we just can't control. Like I was mentioning B&W Concrete a little bit earlier, and we found a driveway and it had a lot of cracks. We were replacing the driveway. It was not a very good job. And when they dug and broke out and got the old driveway out, we realized there was no rock base underneath this driveway at all. It was literally poured on top of dirt. And that was the problem. There's no way to know that without digging it out. So then you go, well, bring up that same question. So do we just figure out we're going to have to dig it out and put that on every driveway? Well, no, because that's rare. So you don't want to do that to every driveway, because then you got to try and explain and understand some of these circumstances as much up front that we don't know what we're getting into, and we'll find it. Here's what we're planning. Here's, you're paying for what we're planning, and then we'll go from there once it's out when we see what we find. And that is extremely, extremely common in our industry, and that's why 80-somethings, over 70% of projects have change orders, because there are just things that happen that you find that come about that you can't predict everything that's ever going to happen on a project. And we don't want to get so deep into planning for everything that could possibly happen that you end up, everything just, it costs enough as it is. So trying to put things in there that you're not sure about isn't the correct solution either. So trying to set the best expectations and crush the expectations for the industry is the goal that we're trying to achieve. But hey, the goal I'm trying to achieve here today for you is to answer whatever ails you about your home. Right now, today, we're live. We've got plenty of show left for you. You can find me right here, 314-436-7900. I'll be here for you all the way up until the top of the hour. We've got lots of fun, lots of conversations, and plenty of time for you. We're going to jump into our break, and when we return, we will have more home improvement for you. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you today. Again, 314-436-7900. Get you in with me live on the air. Whatever you're doing, whatever you need, long weekend going on. So we got a lot of time this weekend to get some of these honey-do list DIY projects done. So again, give me a shout. Let's see what's going on with you. 314-436-7900. And speaking of giving us a shout, we've got Sheila here on the line. Hey, Sheila, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Okay, I am very concerned about, well, I don't have a home to my home imploded on Monday in Florissant here in Missouri.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Yeah, and the insurance companies are all coming out and they're saying this and they're saying that, and the house is just horribly damaged. And I have, my husband passed away, so I don't have a male figure or anything that can be like, hey, this is that and this is how this should happen or whatever. But I do think that my insurance guy was being pretty reassuring to me that, you know, they wouldn't let it just go any kind of way and they would tell me my best option.
Okay, that's but, good.
Right. But what I'm thinking is I already got like 7 beams when you open the front door to go into the house that are broken. I can actually see what they mean.
Yeah.
From the ceiling. And I got holes and sky view in each room in my home on my, it's a one level home. So I was just wondering, like, where should I go to for information or to find out, like, when they're talking about, like, rebuilding? The house is cracked all the way around. And the house that exploded, my house and their backyard run together, if you know what I mean. It's
yeah.
my backyard and it's their backyard without fences.
Okay.
So I was just that close. But I'm just wondering if they, I don't know if that would be good. And I don't know about building a house where that happened, because they still don't say, and they don't know what happened. I feel like I know what happened, but I just don't feel like that would be a smart thing to do. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say for now, your insurance adjuster, insurance agent is going to be your best bet at sticking with them to try and say, how do I get through this? How do I get through it quickly? What's taking so long? Mm-hmm. If it starts to take too long, because mm-hmm. I do know that it can come into play is if they figure out what happened and mm-hmm. and they find out the responsibility party, then all the mm-hmm. insurance kind of comes from them to cover this. And it depends on the insurance they mm-hmm. have and who should cover it and how. And so,
right.
unfortunately, sometimes you get into these battles in these mm-hmm. situations, because
right.
I've spoken a few times about when this happened out in O'Fallon, Missouri, near me, and it was because
right.
a company hit a gas line, and it mm-hmm. gas went under the house, it blew the house up, and it destroyed mm-hmm. houses around it. And so,
exactly.
and then they were all like, all right, so who do we sue? Whose insurance covers this? Well, it was a subcontractor
right.
doing the work to a company that was hired uh-huh. by the city, and that subcontractor
right.
hired a subcontractor. So there was 3 points removed of like whose insurance this should be. And I don't know whatever came of that one, but I know after about a year, that house was still like looked like it did a year later. And I'm thinking, man, this should be easy and it should be quick. You know, the
right.
house is destroyed. Yeah. It needs to be rebuilt. Let's get at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, and so the legal and the who's responsible battle is the shame part that could end up dragging it out. And I did hear just the other night on the news, they were saying all of these residents are saying that their insurance is really stepping up and things seem to be moving quickly. And I was like, I
right.
hope so. Because
yeah,
it really shouldn't take
well,
that
long. They're out there and they're looking. I
yeah.
don't care what they do. I just don't want them to have me like rebuild something, you know, somewhere that it shouldn't be rebuilt. Or if they got to take it all the way down to the ground, don't take all of my money and talk about rebuilding it. Then when we get to the end of it, because it really seems like it's going to be a lot harder to do and it's going to be more costly than the amount of money that I have to cover. Because
yes.
they already talking about $100,000 worth of damage to it in the first place.
Yep. Yeah.
And they ain't even really looked at this house.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely, they're going to need, yeah, some structural engineers. They're going to need some real
mm-hmm.
plans to figure out
right.
how this house goes back. And it's definitely,
mm-hmm.
it takes some work to figure out exactly. But then
right.
performing the work, like if,
mm-hmm.
if they took your house, and they said, well, the value of this house right now is $200,000. rebuild the same house for $200,000. Well, hopefully on your insurance, you have like a coverage that covers not just the value of the home, but what it would take to rebuild it. Because houses aren't getting built for $200,000. They're just not. So if the whole house has to be rebuilt, there's going to be an amount over that that they're going to need to cover for you. And it's all in the policy and everything if and how that happens. So I would start talking about that also.
Right. Right. But I'm at the hospital now. Hopefully I can see the young man that got hurt really bad.
Oh, but yeah. Tell them our hearts go out to him.
I will. I came to visit. But what I wanted to ask you, would you please keep my number? And is this a number that I can call you back at if I need to ask more questions or talk about something as far as rebuilding?
Well, this would only be every Saturday when I'm on the air would be this number. So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. In Mosby Building Arts, we don't really do a whole lot of insurance work, and we don't build houses from the ground up like brand new.
Okay.
That's a little bit different market. So depending on what you need, we may not be a whole lot of help for you.
Well, you already been a lot of help because you're telling me about the extra how if my house is going to be past that $200,000+ and house is not getting built for that much. It's some kind of something that they have to supplement for me or however. Because I don't know a lot about it, and that's why I'm calling, because I want to know. But I tell you what, you have my number. Why don't you shoot me a quick text with a little bit of information in it? And that'll be fine, too, because I'm not holding anything. My process is crazy.
Yep.
I can't not function.
We'll go visit. Hopefully the young man's doing better. And feel free to call in any Saturday and update us and with any other questions.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right,
and
Sheila.
Who am I listening to?
So this is KMOX Home Improvement Radio Show.
KMOX Home Improvement Radio Show. I should be able to remember that. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, you're very welcome, Sheila. And that's something that that was a big story, and that is so devastating when that does happen. And I am curious what the cause they really come out with, that why that happened and everything. I don't want to speculate, but they're kind of saying they didn't smell gas or they didn't think it had anything to do with gas. So there's some questions on why it happened, and all these different insurance companies are going to have some questions on who covers and pays for this, and they're all looking to pass it on to the next insurance company where they're like, well, yep, they did it. It's their responsibility, so their insurance pays for it. And the insurance companies, they don't all work with you as well as they used to. They want to kind of hand you off to them and say, yep, they should cover it, talk to them, get the stuff from them, do that. And it is definitely hard to keep yourself informed and protected and understand everything that you need to know. And just like working in a kitchen or a bathroom or anything else, there's unseen things. They might find more once they get into it and they start removing stuff to fix beams. There's a lot into these projects. So I wish all those homeowners in Florissant where that happened goodwill and a lot of luck. And hopefully you get through it and get rebuilt okay and get it done in a timely manner is what we also hope for everybody there. So, hey, we're going to get into a break here. And we will return with plenty more home improvement right after this. Remember, 314-436-7900 finds me. We'll be back. Welcome back. You've made it. You're tuned into the KMOX Home Improvement Show live right now. I'm your host, Rich Orris. We're here. We got some time for everybody. 314-436-7900. Direct line right into me. Any question, anything you got going on around about from the roof to the foundation, let's figure out what's going on with your home. And let's go to Elias and see what's going on with their home. Hey, how you doing?
Doing just fine. Thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome.
My roof has hail damage, and I am researched for the tile. I found out that Owens Corning duration tiles is for wind is excellent, for nail is excellent, impact is excellent, and the strength is above average. And now the second one is Owens Corning Berkshire collection.
Uh-huh.
Strength and nailing and impact and wind, all of them are excellent. In your experience, which, well, of course, I found out Owens is more money than the first one, Owens Corning duration. What do you advise me to do?
So really, they both sound like they're really, really good. Upgrading your roof shingles is a great investment. So going to the duration that's a little bit more, there should be a little bit better kind of the ways that it lasts, the thickness. It should be a little bit better than the other one. And if you've got the funds to upgrade, I would say upgrade every time, because a thicker, better roof that's going to resist hail better, all that is definitely, absolutely worth having. Does that make sense to you there? Oh, I think we might have lost Elias. I'm not hearing him. But, yeah, just definitely getting into the better layers, if it's even when it's marginally better, the roof protects the entire house. And so it's definitely worth stepping up a little bit. But I do get with most people too, there's investments in all of that, and you got to kind of think about how long you're going to be in the home, how long you're going to last, and is it really worth that investment for you? So sometimes the time you're planning on staying might play into that decision. But I'd always say going up to a little bit better one is a great decision when you're talking about roof shingles. So, hey, let's jump over to Darlene and see what's going on with Darlene. Hey, Darlene, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Rich. I'm so glad for your show, and I've been listening to Scott and then now you since the 90s. I think I called back in the 90s even.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yes, so I do thank you for your show, and I'm always petrified on home improvements. I'm a single lady owning a home, and I'm 78, and I have had people do some things, and they've just been awful.
Oh, and that's a shame.
So I let things go, but I did have a roof. I think it was done in 09 or 12, and it's needing a roof badly, very, very badly, and I've got three things outside, and I thought, maybe a contractor that could do all three, that would be better. So if I had a problem, I could call them back rather than get three separate people maybe. And then the question I'm wondering about is my paint. I had my house painted, and I like the color. And I did have the chimney and the soffit with siding. And I like it. It looks okay. But if I was to get the whole house with the same color, even though it said it was Heritage Cream, I had a rental property. I had it done, and it was like a loud yellow. So I don't want to do that. So I'm thinking I want to paint my house then, so I can keep my chimney cover and my soffit cover, because otherwise I would probably go to a different color vinyl, and then I'd have more expense. And I am 78, and I am not walking real good, so I have to not go real high dollars, just like you told and you explained on the previous caller. And I have 8 steps that come out of my sunroom, and they're deteriorated very bad. So those are the three things that I think I should get bids on as separate bids, but maybe a contractor that could do all three.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it can be a great idea to have somebody to handle all three, because then you've got that kind of umbrella of protection over the entire project, everything that was done, and you get less finger pointing too on if something were to happen, who's responsible, who takes care of it, especially if any of them intermingle, paint near the roof, things like that. So It is definitely beneficial, and that's why Mosby Building Arts does what we do, where we can handle that entire project, all three steps of it. I will advise, though, it can be, when you're getting into different trades and different areas like that, it can be a little more expensive to have somebody manage, oversee, and take care of that entire project. But our clients know that, they love that, because then they don't have to worry about taking care of any of it themselves. And so you're kind of doing some of that job if you do all three with separate companies and save money, but then you're kind of in charge of when are they showing up and all the ins and outs. So a lot of our clients just love the way they handle that. And I talk about that with other companies too, just even other than Mosby, is like Hoffman Brothers. When you look at plumbing, electrical, heating, cooling, and now appliance repair, when you've got that company that works on all of that, it is so convenient to know who to go to, know who you trust, and know that they'll be able to cover all of that. So that's a great thing to think about and a great thing to figure out for yourself. You might get a little sticker shocked in the end, but that's okay. You just got to make a decision that works for you.
Well, I know, and I can't keep putting it off. It's just I want to procrastinate and make it go away.
Yeah. No, I would definitely say, it might be worth a little bit of your time to call into Mosby and have one of our consultants come out and talk about what does it take to do all three of those projects at once. What might that cost? Sometimes we can even get through it just with a conversation with a budgeting exercise to kind of go, yep, your roof's here, this is there, this is that. And you might be even to make a decision, do you go any further just from that conversation of where we think it would be. So sometimes it can be handled with a little less effort when you just hear the whole thing, because then you might go, yeah, I'll look for three different companies because that might be a little too expensive. And that's okay. It's about understanding, setting the right expectation. What am I going to get? How does it work? How do you do it? Who does it? And then what's the expectations of the investments in that? And then you can make that decision. And if it's too much and you go through three different areas and you can save yourself some money and it works, that's a fine way to go too.
Okay, well, yeah, that way I could spread out my decision-making, a little bit easier maybe.
Yep.
Okay, so I would just call the Mosby's office and see what, is that like a free service, a consultant?
Yep, yeah, they'll come out, take a look. It'll just be like a free, kind of first consult to take a look and talk to you about the three different projects. Yep,
okay.
No charge at all.
Okay, well, I better get on the ball, so thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, no, you're very welcome. And for you, Darlene, and everybody out there, 314-909-1800 is the number to get into Mosby Building Arts, or you can go online and find some information and schedule stuff there, too, at callmosby.com, callmosby.com. We're going to get into our final break of the show here. We'll have a little bit of time for everybody in the last segment. So if you've got something, feel free to jump in with me in the last segment, 314-436-7900. I'll be here for you. Welcome back. Here we are, final segment of the Home Improvement Show. Again, we've got a little time for you, 314-436-7900 to get you in here to me. But, we've had so many great questions and conversations today and last week and the last couple weeks. And Darlene kind of talking about going all the way back to the 90s, listening. I know, Scott Mosby did this show for, 27 years or something like that, 25. And what a great honor it is to just be able to do this. And I really appreciate all the great calls and everything going on and try and provide the service everybody's thanking me for. But in last week, we had a really interesting one when Hank brought out a question about Bosco and the little hamster Scott used to always talk about that was running in his little cage wheel and creating the 50,000 watts that get us across this giant tri-state area. And so now I don't know, with us being on FM2, is it more than 50,000 watts? Maybe they got two hamsters in there now making that happen. I'm really not sure. And I don't know their names, but you know, we're getting it out there and we're doing what we can. And it's awesome to really hear. And the amazing thing too is, like, I do talk about Scott and going back and how long he did this show, but man, this goes back to, what was the first one was like the Mr. Tinker or something. I mean, they've been having this home improvement show for 50, 60, 70 years or something. I mean, this is longer than I've even been on this earth. And so what a great tradition and a great thing to do. And in such a long, great city, St. Louis, long outstanding time, been here forever. And when we look back at some of these old buildings and we think about the maintenance and the differences of them all, and there is a lot to know and a lot to figure out. And there's some great differences in working on something that's really old to something that's even newer. And I advise all the time, I have people in older homes in St. Louis and mature homes, and I'm like, boy, if you think you're just going to buy a brand new home and never have an issue again, and you're like, I'm going to retire, I'm going to purchase this brand new home, and then I'm just good. I'll just be good. I won't have all this to do. Well, I was just talking a couple segments ago about the guy I was with in the 10-year-old home that needs new concrete, and it's a 10-year-old home, and it has a 1-year warranty to it when they build that home. So nothing's anywhere near any type of warranty. And there's, when we do this, there's things that happen. Like when they overdig around the house for the foundation, even if we adding on a room addition and we have to overdig, and that overdig is just going to settle. There's nothing to do about it. There's steps they used to take, one of which they kind of stopped doing, where they would oversaturate it with water, and you'd take hoses and you'd stick these metal pipes in the ground and you would flood it with water and try and get a lot of that compaction. Well, it's just, think about a 1 or 2 week old foundation, or even a 4 month old foundation. Say they've been building this house for 2, 3, 4 months. Flooding that with water, I think they kind of said, well, it's great for getting that dirt to compact going back in, but it's probably not great for that new young foundation either. We should stop doing that. So they don't really do that. So now compacting it with some rock and doing different things, but then that attracts water later, and having proper drainage around. So there's so much into it. So if you're in an older home and you've got some maintenance, please don't think you're going to go to a brand new home. It's kind of like, I'm going to buy a brand new car. A lot of people buy a brand new car because they've got an older one and it's been breaking down. And is that car less likely to break down than the older one? Sure. But can it? Absolutely. And is there maintenance? You bet. Because in, what, 3, 5, 7,000 miles, you're going to need an oil change. So you're not getting out of everything buying a brand new car. And I just heed that advice with a brand new home, because you're not getting out of everything with a brand new home either. You're going to have the maintenance. You're going to have nothing in our industry is 100% maintenance free, and repairs just need to be made. And even though how new, it doesn't matter. I've had projects we've built, and within a month, there's a giant hailstorm and we're putting a new roof on an addition that we put a roof on a month or two ago. So it just happens, and it's going to go down no matter if you like it or not. So plan for it, understand it, and perform that maintenance, because it is very, very important. And last week we were talking with about older homes with tuck pointing, and what should, you know, is there a different mixture, and how do they do the tuck pointing? And yes, there absolutely is, depending on the age of the home and the brick. And these older homes, they had a lot softer brick 100 years ago, and they did a different mix in the mortar. So I was kind of advising, like, yes, you're spot on. I don't know the formula. I don't know the calculations, but I know that, yes, newer mortar, they're trying to make stronger and stronger and harder and less porous. And so what's happening is you put that newer type of mortar in a very, very soft brick, and you get any kind of moving, shifting, it'll crack the brick instead of the mortar. So you might need a softer mortar for a softer mix. And this is where that importance of education and knowing and experience and who's really doing it. Cause I can start tuck pointing and I can say I'm a tuck pointer. I could start that Monday if I wanted to, but do I really know? That's the question. So do your own research, ask a lot of good questions, like calling into here, figuring things out, getting advice. It's a great thing to do. But hey, we're out of time right at the end of the show. I appreciate all the calls, all the great stuff. Be good to each other, and I will talk to everybody next week.